Today is the fifth day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, grateful to be here with you today. Deeply glad that we have this place to be, glad we can come around the global campfire together, gather, be together in each other's presence. A new day, another step forward. So we started 1 Corinthians yesterday, but we also finished 2 Chronicles. So the books of Kings and Chronicles, we've now covered that territory. And we're moving forward in the Old Testament. Our next journey leads us into the book of Ezra. And so from a historical perspective, we're picking up where 2 Chronicles leaves off, and that is with the children of Israel having been conquered and taken into exile to Babylon. And this is all due to their unfaithfulness, their rebelliousness to God. So the book of Ezra will cover about 80 years and three different kings of Persia: Cyrus the Great, Darius, and then Artaxerxes, all who are favorable and provide cover for the Israelites who are being allowed to go back to their homeland. It won't be their homeland, but they're allowed to go back to the land. Cyrus the Great begins this process literally wanting, having a desire to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem for the worship of God, so that that will be favorable to him. And then God will be favorable to him. So around 42,000 Israelites who have been carried away into exile have been crying and weeping for a day that God would restore them, finally get to take steps in the direction of Jerusalem, move back toward that city. And they go under the leadership of Zerubbabel to rebuild Jerusalem. There has been a whole generation gone by since they've been in the land, so there have been people occupying the land, and when they get there, they're going to face all kinds of opposition. The same kind of stuff that we face when we're trying to rebuild or build something in some sort of way. And so that's kind of where we begin to key in, that we're not only reading a piece of history, we're also reading ourselves. So they'll face intimidation, and they will face like the politics and the maneuvering and the manipulation. But we'll also see that they stick to the task. And that is the reference point for our own lives, as we stick to what we know is right and what has been given to us to do, regardless of what the outside voices may say, regardless of what the opposition may be. So Ezra then later returns a second time to Jerusalem and leads the remainder of the exiles that are in Babylon with the blessing of the king. And then Israel, the remnant, those who are left, are restored to the land that was formerly their homeland. So let's embrace the book of Ezra as the continuing story of the children of Israel, but also as a metaphor for our own lives. And when we do that, we will find ourselves in these pages. And so with that, Ezra, chapters 1 and 2. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild this temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God be with you. Wherever this Jewish remnant is found, let their neighbors contribute toward their expenses by giving them silver and gold, supplies for the journey, and livestock, as well as a voluntary offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem. And God stirred the hearts of the priests and Levites and the leaders of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of the Lord. And all their neighbors assisted by giving them articles of silver and gold, supplies for the journey and livestock. They gave them many valuable gifts in addition to all the voluntary offerings. King Cyrus himself brought out the articles that King Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the Lord's temple in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his own gods. Cyrus directed Mithridat, the treasurer of Persia, to count these items and present them to Sheshbazzar, the leader of the exiles returning to Judah. This is a list of the items that were returned. 30 gold basins, 1,000 silver basins, 29 silver incense burners, 30 gold bowls, 410 silver bowls, and 1,000 other items. In all, there were 5,400 articles of gold and silver. Sheshbazzar brought all of these along when the exiles went from Babylon to Jerusalem. Here is the list of the Jewish exiles of the provinces who returned from their captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar had deported them to Babylon, but now they returned to Jerusalem and the other towns in Judah where they originally lived. Their leaders were Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sariah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Baana. This is the number of the men of Israel who returned from exile. 2,172 from the family of Parosh, 372 from the family of Shephatiah, 775 from the family of Ara, 2,812 from the family of Peat Moab, the descendants of Jeshua and Joab, 1,254 from the family of Elam, 945 from the family of Zatu, 760 from the family of Zakai, 642 from the family of Bani, 623 from the family of Bibai, 1,222 from the family of Azgad, 666 from the family of Adonikam, 2,056 from the family of Bigvai, 454 from the family of Aden, 98 from the family of Ater, the descendants of Hezekiah, 323 from the family of Bizai, 112 from the family of Jorah, 223 from the family of Hashum, 95 from the family of Gibar, 123 from the people of Bethlehem, 56 from the people of Netopha, 128 from the people of Anatoth, 42 from the people of Beth Asmaveth, 743 from the people of Kiriat Jearim, Kephira, and Beerot, 621 from the people of Ramah and Geba, 122 from the people of Michmash, 223 from the people of Bethel and Ai, 52 from the citizens of Nebo, 156 from the citizens of Machbish, 1,254 from the citizens of West Elam, 320 from the citizens of Harim, 725 from the citizens of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 345 from the citizens of Jericho, 3,630 from the citizens of Sinai. These are the priests who returned from exile. 973 from the family of Jediah through the line of Jeshua, 1,052 from the family of Immer, 1,247 from the family of Pashur, 1,017 from the family of Harim. These are the Levites who returned from exile. The families of Jeshua and Kadmiel, descendants of Hodaviah, 74. The singers of the family of Asaph, 128. The gatekeepers of the families of Shallum, Ater, Talmon, Akub, Hatita, and Shobai, 139. The descendants of the following temple servants returned from exile: Zia, Hasufa, Debaot, Kiros, Sia, Pedon, Labana, Agaba, Akub, Agab, Shalmai, Henan, Gidel, Gehar, Rei, Rezin, Nakoda, Gadzam, Uza, Pasia, Bisai, Asna, Munim, Nefusim, Bakbuk, Akufa, Harhur, Bezlut, Mehida, Harsha, Barkos, Zisera, Tima, Nadzia, and Hatifa. The descendants of these servants of King Solomon returned from exile: Sotai, Azopharet, Paruda, Jeala, Darkon, Gidel, Shephatiah, Atil, Pokoret Atzabayim, and Ami. In all, the temple servants and the descendants of Solomon's servants numbered 392. Another group returned at this time from the towns of Tel Melah, Tel Harsha, Karub, Aden, and Immer. However, they could not prove that they or their families were descendants of Israel. This group included the families of Deliah, Tobiah, and Nekoda, a total of 652 people. Three families of priests, Obiah, Akoz, and Barzillai, also returned. This Barzillai had married a woman who was a descendant of Barzillai of Gilead, and he had taken her family name. They searched for their names in the genealogical records, but they were not found, so they were disqualified from serving as priests. The governor told them not to eat the priest's share of food from the sacrifices until a priest could consult the Lord about the matter by using the Urim and Thummim, the sacred lots. So, a total of 42,360 people returned to Judah, in addition to 7,337 servants and 200 singers, both men and women. They took with them 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. When they arrived at the Temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, some of the family leaders made voluntary offerings toward the rebuilding of God's temple on its original site, and each leader gave as much as he could. The total of their gifts came to 61,000 gold coins, 6,250 pounds of silver, and 100 robes for the priests. So, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, the temple servants, and some of the common people settled in villages near Jerusalem. The rest of the people returned to their own towns throughout Israel. First Corinthians 1, 18 through 2, 5. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy, when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Psalm 27, 7 through 14. Hear me as I pray, O Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Proverbs Proverbs 20, 22 and 23. Don't say, "I will get even for this wrong." Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. The Lord detests double standards. He is not pleased by dishonest scales. Okay, so Paul's laying out another letter and laying out another argument or teaching. And fascinating stuff. Have you ever had a moment that he was talking about where you thought, like, all this talk of faith in Jesus and all these theological formulas and the things that we actually believe was like foolishness? Like, maybe just nonsense? The Apostle Paul acknowledges that that is an accurate and fair feeling as he introduces what he's talking about in the letter to the Corinthians today. He says, "Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It's foolish to the Jews. They ask for signs from heaven. It's foolish to the Greeks. They seek human understanding. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended. The Gentiles say it's nonsense. It's silly." Paul's point in saying this is simple. Not only to acknowledge that reality, but the underbelly, like underneath it all, God can't be found inside of a human mind, inside of intellect, or human experience alone. And his ways can't be categorized with human categories or reason alone. All of the ways that we search, and I am one who has done this. Like, I have devoted my life. There are times where I'm like I'm still on the search. I'm trying to understand all of it and trying to find the truth of all of it. But trying to hold God in my mind, trying to hold God in our minds and create boxes and formulas for what he does and doesn't do and who he does and doesn't do it with. It's a crazy making business, but it's a weak argument at best because our human minds, how can we even begin without pride and arrogance to contemplate what we're talking about when we're talking about the Most High God, as if we can understand it all? To find God requires faith. It requires a blind leap of faith. And to some people, maybe even to ourselves at times, that looks foolish. It looks like nonsense. It looks silly. But the irony is, the foolish leap has us landing right side up for the first time and reveals the true foolishness that we've been living under, trying to figure it out and live in our own strength. Realize the foolishness that we've been living with all along. And as frustrating and confusing as this can seem, this understanding shows us how spiritually disoriented humanity is. And that is what Paul is laying out. The foolish plan of God, Paul says, is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. God chose things the world considers foolish. That shames those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who think they're powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all and use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, nobody can ever, in the presence of God, boast. So yeah, there it is, the humbling reality that we do not know it all, and the things that we think make us strong in ourselves do not make us strong. They make us vulnerable. And the things that we think make us spiritually wise may actually reveal our spiritual foolishness. We just don't know all that we think we know. We just don't about anything, especially God. God isn't going to be co-opted inside of our formula and become a part of our lives while we stay in control as our own God, as our own sovereign, as if he's just going to bring the power, but we're going to bring all of the rest of it. And it does seem foolish, doesn't it, to give up control? Like it does. To blind leap in faith and give up control of ourselves and believe in what we can't see. But that pulls us forward to where our own strength ends, where we can't stay in control, which then leads us into the realm of faith, where we can, even if we don't understand it, we can encounter God. So faith, spirituality, it's never going to make perfect intellectual sense. And yet the only way that life itself is ever going to have context and make any sense at all is in the presence of God. We were talking about that yesterday. Through faith. And so, looking through that lens, we realize the choice is ultimately about what we're going to put our faith in, because we're going to one way or the other. Will it be that we put our faith in what we think we know? Or do we have the strength or the weakness enough to acknowledge that we don't know that much? We don't know half of what we think we know. But in acknowledging that, can we be willing to believe that if we seek God with all of our hearts, we will find him? So the things that we decide today, the choices that we make today, that is the evidence of where we have actually put our faith. May we watch that. May we see where our faith actually is. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. When we are weak, you are strong. Our strength is made perfect in weakness. None of this makes any sense. We are taught to dominate, manipulate, coerce, whatever it takes to get what we want. And we are taught to wear a mask as if that's not what we're doing. And it's such a false life. And yet you are inviting us into the truth by inviting us to simply acknowledge our own weakness. And that we do not know all that we think that we do. Nor are we anywhere near as powerful as we think we are. Nor are our plans as genius as we think that they are. Only in your presence are we going to find anything that matters or means anything. May this sink in. And Holy Spirit, show us what it looks like to live from that place. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected, be connected, stay connected. And this is our 20th year, so we're doing everything that we can to be connected and stay connected and celebrate every day as a 20th. So Jill and I have come on and tried to share from our lives and get to know you and let you get to know us a little bit better as we get to know ourselves a little bit better. So we've been doing that. We had quite a talk on suffering, on pain, on struggle, and we have had our share, and we have been through, both of us, significant trauma in our lives and have dealt with a lot of brokenness in our lives, both of us. And so we've shared just a bit about that, because this month we'll go into the book of Job. It'll be later this month, but moving into that territory, and as part of a celebration, we've released a song that's coming out on the 14th of August, but you can get it now on iTunes. And so we've been encouraging that, inviting you into that, asking for that. It's called Blessed Be the Name, and it's straight out of Job, and it's our first duet forever. And we've been together an awful long time, so ever. We've done a lot of music together, but it's the first time we've ever sung together. And so, Blessed Be the Name is available, and we talked about pain and suffering, and I got to be a deep conversation that even we were like, should we release this? And then we decided this is the transparent thing to do. So that happened over the course of a couple of days on Friday, and then yesterday. And man, it's been profound to hear the way that that has connected and touched lives. And so I'd love to hear from you. If that is you, that means a lot to us to know. And so yeah, that happened. But then we're continuing to celebrate. So I need to tell you something brand new today. And this is not that, right? This is a completely different thing. So let's switch gears for a second. Let me tell you just a brief story. Actually, I'll probably tell more of the story tomorrow. Let me not take a bunch of time today. We have been involved in coffee and pairing coffee with, you know, the rhythm of the scriptures every day for a long time. Not for 20 years, but for an awful long time, probably 15 years. I'd have to figure that out, but a long, long time, because Jill and I both are coffee lovers. We were once kind of coffee snobs. We're now just coffee lovers again, and very much appreciate a good cup of coffee. I've got a good cup of coffee right here in my clean canteen, just to my right, as I do every day that I come in and do the work here. And I have a special cup of coffee in that clean canteen today. Our brand new coffee that we're releasing today in limited quantities, and it will go on for a while, but we've worked and worked and tasted and tasted and brewed in different formats, with pour overs, with French presses, in coffee makers, to taste, test, and get it right, because we're releasing a brand new flavor. And it represents our 20th year together here at the Daily Audio Bible. So we were looking for something that kind of represents us. We are in the, we're in Nashville. And so we're in the South. If you're in the United States, you know that. If you're, you know, not, you don't, but we're in what's considered the southern states. And we're here in the rolling hills of Tennessee, and they're beautiful and very hot. It's got a little bit of a cooler couple days, but it has been so hot. But we've had a very, very lush springtime. Everything is very green and rolling. And so we were just kind of tossing around, what could we do that would represent this 20 years, but also represent where we are in the South? So today we are releasing our new wind farm, Southern Pecan, our 20th anniversary reserve. So we reserved a bunch of green coffee to be roasted. And this is our 20th anniversary reserve that we have taste tested profoundly and love. And I'm really digging it, drinking it every day right now. And I'm so thrilled to bring this out in celebration because coffee has been so much a part of our story. And I guess we'll tell just maybe more of that in these coming days. So much a part of our story. And the Wind Farm coffee and the brand name and all of that is so much a part of the DNA of the Daily Audio Bible as it developed over the years. So you can go to the Daily Audio Bible shop now. And that can be done on the web at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you're using the app, you can push the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. And that'll pop open a drawer and you'll find the shop in there. Once you're in the shop, I mean, there's a coffee section, coffee and tea, because we actually, both of us, Jill and I, all of us here, enjoy both. But we are releasing the 20th anniversary reserve. It's called Southern Pecan. And you can grab yourself a bag or two or 10 or whatever you like while supplies last now. In the Daily Audio Bible shop. And so thank you for your partnership in that. And man, I hope you enjoy every sip. I do. I am right now loving it. Every sip. As we move through the summertime, it's really good iced. It's really good hot. Meets all of our taste testing criteria. And when you pop open that bag and take a big whiff of that, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You will see exactly what I'm talking about. So enjoy as we continue to celebrate our 20th year. And as you brew your coffee in the morning and listen to the scriptures, or as you do that midday or in the evening, however it is, think of us as you're drinking that. Know that this is from us to you. We are connected in this as we take the journey together. And so check it out. Wind Farm, Southern Pecan, 20th Anniversary Reserve. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you really deeply, honestly, as we move through the summertime. Thank you for your continued partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, my Blessed Dad fam. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. I'm calling in on July 20th. 8th and is to pray over some of the DAP requests for Salah, who called in, who's 22 years old and living with her parents and really desiring a peaceful, harmonious relationship with them. An East Coast adventurer who called in a praise report that he finished his grad program successfully. And now in this time in his life and season, he's really wanting to be connected with a godly friendship group to grow in life and faith with. Let's bring them before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, Lord of hosts, hallowed be your beautiful, beautiful, holy name. Lord, you are holy and righteous and just, and you are full of mercy, love, and forgiveness, Father God, and full of faithfulness, Lord. Father, we come before you and we ask you to restore Salah's family relationships with her parents. Lord, she seeks peace and harmony with her family, Lord. We ask for forgiveness and restoration and to leave the past in the past and to embrace a future of health together, of peace and harmony in their family life, Lord God, and that you would lead their lives, Father God, and you would be the Lord of their household. Father, we also ask that you fully restore her from this concussion so that she may continue to grow into adulthood. Lord God, East Coast adventurer, Father, thank you for your beneficent blessings, allowing him to successfully finish and complete a major milestone in his life. Lord, he feels disconnected and lonely, and he truly desires a godly friend group. Father, we know that you are good, God, and that you want what's good for us. So please, Lord, we ask this for him in your blessed name.
My neighbors, Lisa the Encourager. I hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're not, if you are having a bad day, I'm going to pray that you have a blessed day tomorrow. And I also want to pray for Joseph, who called in for his great aunt, who attended a New Age church, and he was very concerned about her salvation. So I want to pray for her, for you, Joseph. I love how concerned you were about your aunt. And also I want to pray for Billy from Montgomery. His test results weren't as good as he wanted, as we all wanted for him to be cancer-free. But we're going to pray that they will be able to have a good intervention and a way to treat this in a manner that won't interfere with his life, and that God will heal you. And also want to pray for the woman that called in for her son, Jonathan, from Vista, California, who was a runaway. She's very concerned about his well-being and who he might have run away with. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for these prayer requests. Dear God, thank you for everything you've done for us, God. I pray for all the community in the Daily Audio Bible listening to this prayer. I pray for those that might be suffering today or not having a good day. I pray for your hand to come upon them and bless them in a mighty way. I pray for healing for Billy from Montgomery, Lord. I pray, God, that he can be cancer-free and that you will take care of him and give him the right answers and the right decisions for healing. And yes, Lord, and just completely cure him. God, I pray for Jonathan that he will be able to come home from his running away from his family, Lord. God, I pray.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible listeners. Calling in for a friend who is seriously contemplating suicide. She's been homeless for the last 2 years. And I'm at a point where financially I don't know what else to do or how to help. And I just need prayer from those around the world, those locally. We're here in Columbus, Ohio. She's in New York. Whatever prayer that we can get. Thank you. Her name is Renee. If that helps. Her name is Renee. Thank you.
Hi, DAB family. This is Veronica, and I would like to ask for your prayers. My husband and I are going through a financial difficulty right now, and we have decided to sell our house, to downsize and move to a more affordable part of town. Our house is on the market, and what I'm praying is that God will supernaturally send us a buyer so that we could move, you know, to a more affordable housing. If you could please pray for us, I would be very appreciative. Thank you, DAB family.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on the part of the world you're hearing this prayer from. My name is Loveline, and I'm calling in from France. I'm calling in to pray for some of our brothers, some of our brethren that called in, and they're needing us to join them in prayer. And I want us to know that we are praying at the background. Even if you didn't hear your name, even if you didn't hear your prayer point, you are being prayed for. You are being prayed for. And this good God, we see us through. And the first person I'm calling in to pray, a mother that called in that she has been listening to this broadcast for 20 years. What a lovely testimony. I so much love your testimony, and that your son 20 is now wayward. Mother, sister, I want you to know that we're with you in prayer. We're praying for your son. And there is something devil always used to distract us when we're praying for our children. He will present the things that are not working for to take our attention for the things that are working. Imagine when we're praying for our children and they are like this. What's happening if we're not prayed? I want you to know that our prayer will bring our prayers will bring every wayward child back home. We are with you, and your son is coming back. Another sister calling that we should join her to pray for her to forgive with her parents. She has been living with her parents, and she felt they have wronged her, and she actually wants to forgive. Sister, I want you to know, I forgot your name. I want you to know we are praying for you. And another sister calling that we should pray for her sister, that she survived cancer. Now they find kidney stone. They find stone in her kidney and some things, and they went for a test, and they're afraid. Sister, we are praying for you. Another brother called in that you see, you equally say we should pray for your neighbor that contracted meningitis. Meningitis, and he has been sick.
Hello, my wonderful DAB family. This is Rosie, aka Great to Be Free in Jesus. I was calling with a praise report and a prayer request. My grandson, Daniel, whom I've asked you to pray for several times, he was into drugs and all that goes with it. He's getting ready to graduate Saturday from rehab from John 3:16. And he already has a job. He bought his own car. He's doing really well, and I appreciate your prayers for him. And I would ask that you would continue praying for him so that he will stay on the right path. And I just want to share that with you, how well he's doing. And the other is his sister, my granddaughter, Anissa. She's still dealing with the spirit of rejection. She feels rejected by her dad and by her husband who left her. And he lives in Louisiana, and we live in Oklahoma. And she just keeps getting in wrong relationships that continues the process of being rejected. And she's really hurting right now. And I ask you to pray, please pray for her. She's such a sweet lady, and she has a really good job, and she would be doing well if she would just, if she could get rid of that spirit of rejection. All right, I appreciate your love and your prayers. I love you, my wonderful DAB family. God bless you. Bye.